Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Abby D. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 12th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 64, second paragraph. We did exactly the same thing with through one paragraph ending considered its common manifestations, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are Anne Marie M. for the 12 steps, Jenny M. for the 12 traditions, Martha Z. reading the text, and Sima M. reading page 164 at the closing. And thank you to Katie G. for being our backup reader. The reference numbers for Wednesday, December 11th, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,984, and for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,985. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, this is Anne Marie F., miraculously recovering from compulsive overeating in South Carolina. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie, for reading the 12 steps. And I will now ask Jenny M. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Jenny M., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Grateful to be here. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lead the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every AA group ought to be self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever unprofessional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jenny M., for reading the 12 traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, page 64. So we're on page 64 in the second paragraph, starting, we did exactly the same thing with, through one paragraph, ending with, considered its common manifestations. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. I will now ask Martha Z. to begin reading. Go ahead, Martha.
Good morning, Abby. Thank you for your service. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. Good morning, my friends in recovery. So, we did exactly the same thing with our lives, referring to the paragraph before. So, before it's talking about a business inventory, so now we're going to do this with our personal life. So, it says that it was a fact-finding, which is searching, and fact-facing, fearless inventory. And then it says we took stock honestly. This word honest, it keeps coming up, you know, like, and probably the most important thing. And I have found, like, in recovery, my definition, my level of honesty has changed so much, and thankfully for the better. Then it says we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure. And I was thinking about, on 62, it says, so our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. And I love that because it's so hopeful. I can't change anybody else. I have enough trouble working on myself, but I kind of think it's my willingness and it's God's grace. So then we're going to be convinced itself, which is manifested in various ways. We're going to talk about that. So we're going to start to talk about resentment, fear, and sex conduct. And it reminds me of one of my friends in recovery. She was a psychiatrist, but she said something about, you know, I know it says that resentment is the number one offender. And she said, I think that's true for alcoholics. She said, but I think for compulsive overeaters, it's fear. And I will say for me, that rang true with me. Fear is definitely the thing. And even with all my resentments, fear is under all of them. And So I was thinking about, there was one point when I was really, really afraid of something that might happen in the future, and I just said to God, I just asked him to remove it, and he absolutely did, and it's still looming, it could possibly happen, but when I think about it, I think whatever happens, I know he's going to be there to deal with it, and I can't manage to do that with everything, but when it happens, it's really a beautiful thing. So anyway, these days, when I ask God to remove my fear, I was taking a walk on the beach, and I was afraid about something, and the answer I got was, be at peace, trust God. And my last part of it is, when I leave things in God's hands, to not take them back. So that's what I'm working on, and I'm very much looking forward to hearing everybody else share. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah. Martha Z, thank you so much for reading and getting us started today. Appreciate that. All right. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. Who would like to share today?
Nancy R.
Melissa C.
Lisa N.
Yeah.
I missed that last one. I have Nancy R, Melissa C, Lisa M. Where is it? N. And then.
Nick. Tennessee.
Is that Nick?
Yes, ma'am.
Gotcha, Nick.
Jennifer C.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Jennifer C, and then I think it's Dara S.
F is in Frank.
F is in Frank. Okay, got it. Let's start with that. So I did miss someone in the middle, but I have Nancy R, Melissa C, Lisa M, Nick F, Jennifer, mystery last initial, and then Dara S. Let's go with that for now. And if I missed you, hopefully I'll get you in the next round. All right, Nancy R., go ahead and unmute. So we'll have Nancy R. followed by Melissa C. Go ahead, Nancy.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm now unmuted. I'm Nancy R., a compulsive overeater in New York, recovered for today, not cured. And thank you so much, Abby, for your beautiful moderation and moderating. And I loved also Martha's lead. I was thinking about the fact that I haven't used my God box, turning over my fears. I haven't used that in the longest time. But this paragraph, step four, I did find the fears and resentments and anger, selfishness. I found the patterns. And my sponsor had pointed them out. But I did want to say that I'm excited about doing all the 10 steps because I keep hearing things that surprise me about my dishonesty or selfishness. The other day somebody said I was trying to control what people think, perceive of me, my image management. I thought, wow, I didn't see that. I didn't realize that. I mean, not at the time of my fear of being embarrassed. I was at a social event Saturday, and not usually lately, and to see a dear performer, a dear friend perform, and I was embarrassed to wear the mask. I don't think I have COVID, but I got sick, but it was probably because I was exhausted. Anyway, my immune system and I wanted to be there for my friend. But also the fear. I put my walker away in a check room, and I was immersed with
a lot of people, and wherever I turned, I was worried to let them know not to turn quickly. I would lose my balance. And so I have to see and accept my accept where I'm at. Maybe I do need to use the walker when I'm in a social activity where that sort of shows people not to anyway, I'm a little tired and not feeling so well. To be aware that other people can be aware that I have limitations. It turned out to be a very uncomfortable situation to keep telling people, excuse me, as I wanted to walk through a large group to show them that I had a cane. And I didn't need the cane, but in that situation, I needed more than a cane. So I was fearful to show that I needed the walker, just to kind of like have an armor that they can see that I can lose my balance. And that was disturbing, and I have to use acceptance.
That's time, Nancy.
Thank you so much, Abby, and I have to see where I'm being dishonest. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy. All right, well, that was Nancy R., and next up we have Melissa C., followed by Lisa M. Melissa C., go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Thanks so much, Abby. Thank you for taking the meeting. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, when I read this, it's like I'm the problem. And, you know, that's a really painful thing to look at. You know, when I take stock of my life and I look at it honestly and I'm looking at the flaws, not in others and not in my circumstances and not what happened to me, but in me, that I'm the flaw, that I'm the reason for my failure, right? That the flaws in me cause my failure, not other people, not my circumstances, you know, not my story, but me, that there are aspects of me that show up in many different ways and that they have common manifestations, you know. And when I think about that, it's like I have like basically two stories about my life, myself. I've got these two major things, and I just retell them over and over and over again. And that became really clear when I started, you know, looking at my flaws in my makeup, that you know, the common denominator in every single one of my resentments and every single one of my fears was me. You know, it wasn't other people. And my first go round in doing, you know, inventory work was I really thought that I was going to get an opportunity to tell you, you know, you, my sponsor, anybody who would listen, just how unfair life had been to me, you know, just why I was entitled. I actually believed I was entitled to feel afraid, to feel resentful, to behave in ways that were really beneath what I knew I should be behaving because life was unfair to me. You know, and that was the story I told. And when I put it down on paper, first of all, the unfair, that lie, you know, that's entitlement. That's self-centered thinking. That's thinking I'm supposed to somehow walk, you know, not having a human experience. And if, you know, and if you haven't experienced loss and pain of, you know, you just haven't had it yet, because that's part of the human experience. And, you know, and so I thought that that's what I was going to get to do. But really what I found out was it was my experience of it. It was the way that I interpreted it as though it was all happening to me. And those were the defects in my character, you know. And if I'm living this way of life, you know, consistently, I'm lucky enough to get to see some of those defects lessen over time, and some of them show up again, you know, in another manifestation. And yeah, thanks. I'm grateful to be a part of this process, to have this process, so that I don't feel entitled to resentment or fear any longer. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. Next up, we have Lisa M., followed by Nick F. from Tennessee. Lisa M., go ahead and unmute and tell us where you're calling from.
Hey, Abby. It's Lisa N., like Nancy, and I'm from Wisconsin. Thank you so much for your service this morning. Good morning, everybody. You know, I feel like if I'm not honest with somebody else and with God, I'm not going to know what I'm doing. I have to have a little pain. And if I don't, I'm going to just be on the same level as God. So then why would I need God? I'm going to think I'm okay. I'm going to think there's nothing wrong with me. But if I look deeply and I ask for help and I read this big book and I do the steps, I'm going to see where I'm wrong. And that makes me unhappy. It doesn't only make me dishonest, it makes me unhappy. And I don't believe my higher power wants me unhappy, overweight, hurting other people, which that is completely what I did without knowing it, thinking I was the bomb. But I needed help, and I needed to look at my flaws and face them. And when I did, I really felt it. I felt repentant, and I was tearful, and I realized, my goodness, I thought I was so good, and all along I've been doing all this stupid stuff and hurtful things to people and myself, and that's just not the way my higher power wants me to live. That's my higher power's love for me is giving me this program as a gift, offering it, rather. And all I have to do is be willing to take it and accept it. So if you're new, I welcome you. And I say don't be afraid to face yourself. It will hurt initially, but it really does make a difference in the way you live going forward. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That was Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Thank you, Lisa. All right. Next, we have Nick F. from Tennessee. And then Jennifer, missed your last initial, but you'll share that with us. So Nick F., go right ahead.
Good morning, family. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I'm Nick F. in Tennessee. I recovered from compulsive overeating by the grace of God. And, you know, I'm so grateful to be alive today and to be here. I used to beg to die. And now just to be able to have some sanity to unpack this tiny paragraph, you know, and it talk about honestly all my other addictions that I've been recovered from were actually an attempt for me to try to eat less. And I'm looking at this last one. I'm nicotine free since October. And though I'm not killing myself with my alcoholic foods, I can feel the ache. The ache that I would have used to cover up with food. But now for the last 3.5 years, I've been committing my food and I'm not in isolation. I can't get away with things. And I can feel that ache. And what I'm accepting is that looking back over my life, you know, they talk about that donut size hole. What would I be? Who would I be? I'm coming to accept it. I think my hole is the size of a Grand Canyon. Alcohol, and I filled it with pills, and I filled it with all these other things, even relationships. And none of that shit was designed to fill this hole but God. But when I was a kid, I trusted God. I woke up happy, excited, you know, and then at one point I wanted to be God. And then at one point life wasn't going my way, so I was mad at God. And, you know, in working the 12-step and sponsoring, I'm getting to hear somebody read this material back to me, and I'm getting to almost hear me when she cries over certain parts and her voice is excited over certain parts. It's reminding me that no matter what, I can never be God. And I think the reason God would have me to start back going through the book with another person is because life really gets good again. Life's in everything, like honestly, miracles are happening. I'm experiencing miracles. And God has led me to a way
that I get to accept and continue to be reminded, no matter how good it gets, A, I need a God, and B, I will never be God. And it's kind of painful. You know, I'm aching, but it is what it is, and I have to continue to accept reality. And I'm just thankful to be here that I get to be honest, the principle behind the first step. And so with that, I pass. Thank you, family.
Thank you so much, Nick F. from Tennessee. All right, next up we have Jennifer. Jennifer, I missed your last initial. If you could unmute and tell us where you're calling from. And then after Jennifer, we have Dara F.
Hey, good morning. This is Jennifer C. from Greenville, South Carolina. So thankful to be here with all of you this morning. So this process makes me think of a very simple prayer. Know me, show me, and grow me. You know, I'm asking God, this is all about my relationship with God, right? The foundation has been laid by this point in the book. I am very clear on one thing. God is my power, God is my love, and God is my way of life now, right? And so now I do it God's way. And what does that mean? Well, Bill tells us on 13, the first look at step four that we have is from page 13 when Bill realizes that he's been completely lost, he's been completely blind. His pride and his prejudice have gotten in the way of doing God's will with his life. And then it says that he ruthlessly faces his sins and he becomes willing to have his newfound friend take them away, root and branch. So now I ruthlessly face my own sins. Where have I missed the mark? Where have I missed God's standards, right? The four absolutes, honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love. Where has the bondage of self stood in the way of me living these beautiful principles out, right? And so the spiritual malady, which is what this paragraph is telling me, is like, hey, yeah, you've got this physical thing. You take one bite, you're game over, right? You've got this mental thing that keeps telling you to go take another bite. Insanity. Jaywalker, right? But this spiritual malady is about my belief system. It's about my operating system. It's about my emotions and my thoughts that aren't right. So God, once again, like, know me and then show me so I can see what I can't see, and then grow me so that I can become better. Why? Because I want to live for you. Because I want to walk in love, because I want to be free from the bondage of self. So where's my thinking causing the issue, right? That's the spiritual axiom. It all goes back to my thinking. How am I thinking that needs to be changed so that I can be free from the bondage of self? And what's beautiful is that once God shines the flashlight on where the thinking is causing the trouble, he also shows me the new way. The new way of thinking so that I can really be free. This process is so beautiful, and I can't do any of it by myself. I cannot change myself, but I can bring all that I am and all that I'm not before my Creator, and he has his way with us, and it's a beautiful process, and I'm so grateful to be a part of it, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. Jennifer C. from South Carolina. All right, next up we have Dara F. If you could unmute, tell us where you're calling from, and then after Dara, I will take another lineup.
Hello, this is Dara F., as in Frank, from Virginia. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and I am a relatively new sponsor. I've been in the program for 6 years, and have been abstinent, thank God, for 6 years now. Actually, it'll be at the 17th of this month that I'll have 16 years of abstinence. But for a long time, while I was in the program, I mostly was dieting with group support. I lost 118 pounds and have kept it off. But I'm I found a vision for you about maybe 6 or 8 months ago, something like that. And I've really found a new expansion of my spiritual life with a journey for you. I worked the steps with a a vision for you. I worked the steps with a vision.
Dara, I think you might have just gotten muted. Go ahead and press *1 to unmute again.
Boy, I don't know how that happened. Thanks. So anyway, I'm working the steps with 3 sponsees, and I'm doing it through the vision way, the big book way. And I decided I wanted to do another 4th step because a lot of the same stuff that that was coming up on my 10th step was coming up over and over again, and I felt like I hadn't done a thorough enough 4th step, so I wanted to do a 4th step. And it's very interesting. I'm getting much more to my part as to I'm getting much more honest as to what my part in it is, and I've also noticing how much recovery I have from before. I'm not getting as angry. I'm not holding on to things as long. I'm giving people the benefit of the doubt. I'm letting go more easily. I've got a lot more good answers from my higher power as to how to live my life in a way that isn't destructive and doesn't send me back into the food or into the behaviors that don't work for me. I'm just much nicer to my husband and my coworkers. I'm taking it easy on myself in ways that I used to be a perfectionist, which wasn't very helpful to me or anybody else. And I look forward to this 4th step being, thank you, being a cleansing process for me, and hopefully we'll spread some spirituality to people in my life as well. And thanks for letting me share. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. That was Dara F. from Virginia. All right. Before we take another lineup, I'll tell you where we're reading today. So today we are reading from the big book on page 64, the 2nd paragraph, starting "We did exactly the same thing with," through 1 paragraph ending "considered its common manifestations." So we're commenting on that 1 paragraph today. And regarding sharing, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every 3rd day in order that others may share their experience too. So who else would like to share today?
Jackie
Elise H.
Nicole
F.
Roz
G.
Ken W. H.
All right, I'm sorry about that. Clarice H, was that?
Clarice H.
Clarice. Okay, I know I didn't get everyone. I got Nicole S, Roz G, Ken W H, and Clarice H.
Stephanie L.
Stephanie L, and was that Nancy M?
Jackie M.
Jackie. And Stephanie L. Okay, let's go ahead with that. So I have Nicole S, Roz G, Ken W H, Clarice H, Stephanie L, and Jackie M. All right, please tell me where you're calling from today. So we'll start with Nicole S, followed by Roz G. Nicole S, go right ahead. Nicole, press *1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Nicole. Sorry about that. I got muted. This is Nicole.
All right, it's a little quiet. Is there a way you can make yourself just a little bit louder?
Is this any better?
Yes, that's better. Thank you.
Okay, I apologize. Nicole S., recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. And I just love the very clear directions in this paragraph. And, you know, I'm taking this stock honestly. So, you know, the previous paragraph is a fact-finding, fact-facing process. And it's a good reminder for me. It's being honest about it. And it's not meaning to berate myself and to tell myself I'm such a horrible human being and the worst person who walked on the earth. It's just being honest about the things that are not working and have caused my failure. And then that self, and self is what defeats me every single time. And it's common manifestations that we can talk about later. But that self, always in my self-will, wanting to run the show, wanting to, you know, when people don't behave as I see fit, because I'm the actor running the show, and then, you know, I retaliate, and I get angry, and then they retaliate, and so it's me who's the failure, and so if I don't change, nothing changes. So it's taking that honest, that brutal look at myself, and what have I been doing? What are my my flaws? And it's really such a great time of really asking God, bringing myself before Him, and just say, "Here I am, and show me what my flaws are. Search me, and really show me these." And then you know, it's encouraging that once I see these flaws, have them on paper, it's not going to be me who's going to remove them. It's going to be God who's going to remove them for me. So I see just really great, clear directions in here, but also a lot of hope that there is healing, there is recovery. Thank you for letting me share.
All right, that was Nicole S. calling from Colorado. Thank you so much, Nicole. Next up, we have Roz G., followed by Ken W.H. Go ahead and tell us where you're calling from.
Okay.
Go ahead, Roz.
Excuse me. Good morning. This is Roz G. I am calling from Palmdale, California. I am a compulsive overeater. And every morning I ask God, you know, I do page, I guess it's 86, where, you know, on awakening, I ask God to divorce my thinking from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. I ask God specifically to help me pause when agitated. And one of the flaws in my makeup is that I get pissed off fast. And when I take stock honestly, I still do. I think it's getting a lot better. But last night, I got pissed off. I got pissed off fast, probably within a millisecond. And luckily and thankfully, I did a 10th step, and I'm not going to allow people to, you know, cause me to say, F everything, I'm leaving this program. I'm not going to do it. I need this program too much. The big book and all of the recovery that I have, thank you, God, is not worth 1 second of anger. And so I would just like to say that, you know, when I search my flaws, it's not pausing while agitated, that I'm still a human being, and that some people with which I don't particularly care for can still piss me off. So the manifestation of anger, the grouch and the brainstorm, is not for me. Anger is poison, and it will cause me to, it will kill me. You know, it will eventually kill me. And so I just need to say that sometimes I still don't pause when agitated, but it's a lot better than when it used to be. And so I thank God for the 10-step process, and I thank God for taking deep breaths and for forgiveness and for understanding that I'll never rise above being a human being. And so I just continue day by day to do the best that I can, attend meetings, sponsor other people, ask God to help me pause and to move on. And thank you. Thank you for everything in this meeting and for the big book. And God, I just thank you for helping me to forgive and to be forgiven. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Raz G. from California. All right, next up we have Ken W.H., followed by Clarice H. Ken W.H., go right ahead.
Thank you so much. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. The paragraph before talks about the inventory and truth, looking for the truth, and it says one object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods. It doesn't mention the second object or another object through the rest of the chapter. This is about finding what isn't working for me. And I believe I was born into this world with a character that was in pretty good shape because I hadn't done anything to mess it up. But what I'm looking for now is what has been distorted in the course of living and with whatever input and wherever that input came from that shaped some of the ways I acted out, certain parts of my character, originally good, that I have distorted and acted out on them in inappropriate ways. And that's what I want to get off the shelf. Those are the broken things. Excuse me. Those are the things that either don't work or they've been on the shelf so long that they have ceased functioning and have lost their ability to help me in any way. So I need to clear that away. And that's what this is, the rest of this chapter is all about, is about clearing up the mess that I have made, the mess that is a result of acting out inappropriately, perhaps some very good character traits, but distorting them to a point where they weren't recognizable as any good, or they weren't doing me any good, and they were just keeping me in my addiction. So it needs to be a hard fact-finding, fact-facing exploration for me. That's what I need to do. I can't speak for anybody else, but if I start looking at and saying to myself, well, what about all the good stuff in there? That's a distraction for me in this portion of this step. I need to stay focused on what ain't working and not try to help myself feel better. This is to help me get better, and sometimes it's going to hurt. That's all I have to share. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. All right, next up we have Clarice H., followed by Stephanie Al, I think it was Stephanie Al, but correct me if I'm wrong. Clarice H., go right ahead.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your moderating, Abby. Clarice H. from Chicago. The line that jumped out for me was, we took stock honestly. before program, I thought I was a pretty honest person, but I had no idea, first and foremost, how dishonest I was with myself. And if someone said or did something that bothered me, I would think, oh, I shouldn't let that little thing bother me. I mean, I just minimized it. I minimized everything. So instead of truly acknowledging it within myself that it's okay to feel sad or disappointed or hurt, like, you know, wow, what a concept to actually feel my feelings. Like I could, now I have a solution. Now I have a way of dealing with those things, you know, rather than taking a little bite of this or a little bite of that, you know, I turn to God, I reach out to you all. And the other aspect too of honesty that I'm learning and going through the steps is just the willingness to look within, look at my part in things. Looking at my flaws, my selfishness and my self-seeking, the image management is such a huge thing for me, and my fears and the idea that maybe I could be the problem. Like, what? I mean, if I'm the problem, as my sponsor says, if I'm the problem, then there is a solution. And what a glorious thing that is that I'm learning. And I just love it so much. And the solution for me is for sure to keep practicing the things that I'm learning, reaching out, this fellowship, these meetings are everything. And I know that God is making this possible for me, and I'm just so, so grateful. So love you all. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll keep coming back.
Thank you so much. Clarice H. from Chicago. Yes, who just
good
came
morning.
In?
This yeah. Hi, good morning. This is Stephanie O. From Long Island.
Okay.
And thank you. Thank you to everybody who's on this meeting. I just have to say how proud I am to be in a fellowship of people who are really not just talking but walking and doing this work on a daily basis. There was a share, and I welled up with just pride at a person's ability to face their pain. I'm a newcomer. I've only been on the meeting for about 2 months now, and this past Sunday made the commitment to a sponsor that I would be brutally honest and rigorously honest. And, you know, so I'm in step one. And so when I read these words, you know, a fact-finding and a fact-facing, and really what came to my mind, those are the four words that I need to live in today in step one. So fact-finding. Fact-finding is that I have a set of default files in my brain that were put there by Weight Watchers who told me that vegetables are 0 points and that they're unlimited. And, you know, as long as I'm eating something green and leafy, it's not a problem. And that's a default file that's in my brain. And I know today that I need to ask God to discard that file, because it is incorrect. Because while it may not have caloric problems for me, the behavior is just fatal. The behavior is fatal. So that was something that I had to face this week and turn over to my sponsor. And let me tell you the amount of courage that took, because I just was angry about it. I just did not want to do it. But, you know, here's what I know. When that Taylor Swift song came out, "It's Me, Hi, I'm the Problem, It's Me," I was like, bitch, that girl just wrote that song for me. Because I've often said that I am my own qualifier. I take myself out. Nobody has to do it for me. You know, my set of files really is just... But you know what? Here's the great news. I don't have to do it by myself anymore. You know, I have a group of people, this group on vision and this group me, and just everything that I have been learning in the past 8 weeks that I just didn't have the willingness or the ability to learn for the past 25 plus years in OA. I'm just so filled with gratitude for everyone on this meeting. And with that, I pass. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you so much. That was Stephanie O. from New York. All right, next up we have Jackie M. Jackie M., go ahead and unmute. Tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. I'm Jackie M. from Michigan. The thing about my flaws and my character defects are glaring, and they still are even after I've done an inventory, they still pop up, because I guess that's me. I'm human, but the sentence that saved me in this book is that I can pick my own conception of a higher power. Yeah, and that whatever that is, it's not me. Qualities that I would want to be. I don't want to be. I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to be unloving. I don't want to be unkind. I don't want to do any of that. And so that's what my higher power is for me. And I when I get caught up with all the stuff I do wrong all the time, which is still going on because I'm still alive, I have to remember that my higher power loves me as I am. It's like I had to accept my addiction before I could go on. I have to accept I'm a compulsive overeater. And I do. That's the way it is now. I have no problem with that. That's what I am. But now I know someone still loves me and that I'm still accepted. But I have to do the footwork still, that word footwork. I still have these steps and principles if I want to get better, or I will just eat myself to death. I will just eat myself to death because I detest myself so much that I would just soon eat. So I know that first thought I have, I'm a jerk, you know, that my characters are going to come out. But that second thought gives me that pause to say, hey, maybe you better not say that. Maybe you better think about it. You know, is that what you really want to say? But I can still accept myself and be who I am and go on and live. I now know how to live with these steps and principles. Not great every day, but it's not supposed to be really. You know, it just shows me the joy of just everyday simple living. And for that, I'm so grateful. And I pass.
All right. Thank you so much, Jackie M., my fellow Michigander. Jackie M. from Michigan. Thanks so much for sharing. All right. We have time for like one, possibly two more. All right. Hold on one second, Alexis. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So I have Alexis F. One more. Actually, I think that's all we have time for. Alexis F., go right ahead.
Okay. It's Alexis F. from New Jersey, East Coast time. If this is a disease of the mind, then my feelings are lying to me. And I say this because it's an incorrect thought that is attached to them. The deception is accomplished by the thought, not by the feeling. And feelings stem from thoughts. For example, I was doing fine with abstinence for years. My daughter came home and said, I bought some protein bars. I thought, great. Is there any sugar in them? She said, no, there's no sugar in them. I said, wow, I'll have some, you know. And it was 22 grams of protein, she said. I said, that would really supplement my protein at my snack time, you know. I could have one of those with a piece of fruit. So I started eating them, and then I was eating more of them and more of them. I said, are you sure these don't have sugar in them? And I looked, and it was 3 grams of sugar per bar. And all of a sudden, the obsession came back. And after about the third or fourth week of eating these, I stopped. I got a new sponsor, and I started the steps again, and I started with a meal plan. I'm seeing a nutritionist on Saturday. So I'm really happy that, you know, it's turning around so quickly, because it's not, you know, like having the relapse. It's how long you linger in it. So, you know, like my sponsors, my old sponsors used to say to me, well, if you have a slip or if you have a relapse, get right back on the horse for the next meal. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Alexis F. from New Jersey. We have time for a quick, like, 1.5 minute share if anyone would like that. Anyone like to take a minute?
Natalie,
hi, Toby.
All right, I heard Toby.
Jennifer G. Oh.
And then I heard Jennifer G. Sorry, Jennifer, I heard Toby. Toby, go right ahead.
Thank you. Toby K., Long Island, New York. So not only are these steps teaching me how to live my life, but there was some problem with my daughter and one of my son-in-laws, and you know, she wants me to reprimand him because he was out of line. But I'm saying to myself, wait a second, I don't want any fights in my family. I don't know who's right. I don't know who's wrong. He is spiritually sick, and so is she. Just keep my nose clean and stay out of it. And I could only learn this from the steps, from this program, because you are. Thank you for letting me share, I pass.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Toby K from New York. And Jennifer, sorry we don't have time, but there's a second unrecorded hour, so stay on the line if you want to continue to share. All right. Thank you to everyone who shared today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, December 12th, 2024, is 21,991. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sima M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Until keep you until then.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Sima, grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.